Before I begin with the body of the sermon today, I want to pray. And I want to pray not a prayer for help, which is called a prayer of supplication, or a prayer for forgiveness, or a prayer of entreaty, or even a prayer of wisdom. No, I simply want each one of us to pray a prayer of reality, of what is and nothing else. Let us pray. We are in the center of a pandemic, closer to one end than the other, we hope, of a virus that has wreaked and continues to wreak havoc, even on this Easter morning. There is no getting free of that fact. We recognize it, and we cast about for ways to get through. We look to trust science. We look to trust those in power. We look to trust while still fearful. This is honest, God, the unvarnished truth of how we feel on this Easter morning. And so that is where we are, where we sit today. Not a great place to be, we readily admit. And so let what is be part and parcel of our worship this morning, our tiredness, our sadness. We bring this all this Easter morning, and we lay it down. Amen. So, it's darn easy to preach Easter in the good times, when life is evidently abundant in our midst and we can but point to all around, and it is so. He is risen, we can declare, without really taking it very seriously. Yet Easter has not ever been easy to preach. I have listened to preachers tie themselves in knots or simply toe the line, either trying to rationalize that which is not capable of rational thought, with talk of an apparition or a ghost, or declare he is risen while not believing it in their hearts to be true. Even my great-grandfather who preached from this pulpit, even he who preached through the Depression and the Second World War, even he theatrically swept all the doctrine and that which he had been reared on off the pulpit and declared, I cannot preach this anymore, and rest easy tomorrow. In any time, it is not easy to preach Easter. Now, I'm not a great biblical scholar. I have never pretended to be so. I came to God through an experience of God. And that experience has led me through these last, I hate to say it, 40 years. An experience on a rock in the woods in the far north at a very young age has led me from there to here. So for all the learning that I did in seminary, the courses that I took, the exams that I wrote, none of that has changed my knowing about this one we call God, this one I call God. And some of you may be biblical scholars, and many of you are far more versed than I in chapter and verse. This I recognize and am in awe of. But my experience of God began without biblical grounding, although I have done my best to understand the chapters and the verses, and I have come to appreciate the stories in the years that I have been in ministry. So I come to you this morning with what I know to be true. And I'm going to tell you of this in a roundabout way. Stay with me here. Stay with me as I, with integrity, will declare he is risen. He is risen indeed. Easter is a movable feast. And it is movable as it follows the moon, the lunar phases. Easter is always celebrated on the first Sunday following the first full moon of the spring equinox. We get this most recently from the Hebrew calendar, and more ancient than that, we get the date from that which has come before and that which comes again every year without fail. There is no written record of it, but we call it spring. Easter is a movable feast, and it is movable because it points to what is older than the written record. It's also the name of a goddess of fertility and spring, perhaps originally of sunrise, whose feast was celebrated at the spring equinox. sunrise, fertility, spring. We lost this connection, and we not only lost it, we reviled it in Christianity over the centuries. But we kept it as the name of this movable feast. We kept it in Easter's outward trappings, bunnies and eggs and bright colors after a long winter. We kept it tied to the lunar cycle. And we remembered little else. And this is fascinating. This actually gives me hope. Why did we remember that the renewal, the rebirth of life, was a movable feast? Not fixed, but moved with the phases of the moon. Because it is written in our DNA, written in all our stories. No matter how we try to cover it over or write it out, it is there, this movable feast, deeper than we know, more capable of insight than we understand, closer to God than we would admit. And so we tell stories. I asked a question in Bible study this week, which is a very fine group of about 15 of us who get together on Wednesdays. And I asked this question: how does the story of the resurrection inform how you live your life? I did not ask, do you believe in the resurrection? How does the story of the resurrection inform how you live your life? And the answers, oh, the answers were wonderful. Tales of new life from facing death. Tales of getting so low and finding a way out of seeming hopelessness. Tales of not being alone when all was lost. Personal tales of knowing in a myriad of ways that death was not the end. Tales of sorrow and knowing that even in sorrow. Tales of trial, finding the strength to live through another round of this pandemic. Because somehow, we know God is with us. Now, Easter is a movable feast not only as to date, it's a movable feast that can mold your actions and your outlook. Each time you refuse to hit and turn toward and not away, it is Easter. Each time you hold off from judging, it is Easter. Each time you forgive, it is Easter. Each time you ask for forgiveness, it is Easter. And each time you know you are loved, it is Easter. This is the movable feast, and it is abundant, and there is more than enough for all. Time has not diminished it. Doctrine has not perverted it. It is still the same. Easter is movable as it moves regardless of time, always pointing to a next step. A different way forward, a new beginning, regardless of what we have experienced, in spite of all we carry. Easter is a movable feast as to meaning. Something happened on that morning, all those centuries ago. Whether you believe Jesus bodily rose or rose in spirit, whether you believe wholeheartedly or half-heartedly, whether you think it a tall tale, spend a minute right now imagining it to be true. Spend a minute imagining that those we have lost yet live. Imagine that for yourself. It cannot help but move you. And yet, you might scoff or cry, but then spend another minute tying the story deeper. Make it a mythic tale common to all of dying and rising, of winter fallow and spring sprung, and then widen it. Widen the tale to include the fact that there is no energy ever lost in the universe. Then turn it inward to your core, to that tender, passionate center, the place we can access only when love melts all borders. This is the gift we are given at Easter. It is the very end of the Gospel of Mark. There is no after story or explanation as there is in the other Gospels. It ends abruptly like this. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And we too are afraid. Yet older than the written record, we participate with the women at the tomb in the timeless time of amazing grace, in the healing moment that pours divine gold into creation's cracks, that binds everything together in a way no human being could ever take apart. This resurrection that screams, death has no dominion, that shouts, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance, that cries out, the kingdom of heaven is here. The silence of the tomb is not the quiet of a heart stopped, but that moment of stillness before God's storm of transformation bursts out into the whole world yet again. And so we end as we began, in prayer. Bow your heads and let this time wash over you, envelop and empower you. We are in the center of a pandemic, of a virus that has wreaked and continues to wreak havoc, even on this Easter morning. That is the reality, and yet there is so much more that is here with us this morning. You are here with us this morning, guiding, cajoling, inciting, teaching yet still, risen and rising with us still and yet again this morning, this Easter morning. Easter is not a stumbling block. It is a feast. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah and amen.